We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, welcome back to Late Night News Talk 830 WCCO. Sounded like Chris Tubbs was a little bit frustrated right there before I went live hot on the air. Oh, man.
Nah, that wasn't. Was it the way that I said Mike's hot?
It was the way that you said it. It was pretty funny.
Maybe it's because I'm watching some of the highlights of the Lynx game from earlier, but you know how we can get the bad taste out of our mouth? By talking some Minnesota Twins, baby. Let's go.
Let's talk Twins baseball with Brandon Warren from Zone Coverage Minnesota. He joins us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline for the currently. The Minnesota Twins leading the American League Central Division by a full game now over the Chicago White Sox because they lost again today. Man, things just change in the blink of an eye. But that makes sense, right? It's a 60-game season and things happen fast, right, Brandon?
It's a sprint instead of a marathon, which is the exact opposite of what we've said about baseball season since pretty much the beginning of time.
The White Sox have lost five consecutive games. The Indians have won five straight, and the Twins have won four straight. Man, this has just been a really goofy year. And you're right, it's a sprint. It's not a marathon this year, but it's been fun, though. Like, I'll say this. I know that we are living through some tough times, but from a sports fan's perspective, I think we are having fun right now.
Well, and you know how Minnesota fans insist that it's rip your heart out losses that kind of go hand in hand with Minnesota sports, but think about back-to-back walk-off home runs and then a big inning off Carlos Rodon in a puzzling managerial decision by Ricky Renteria tonight. Man, if you're a White Sox fan, you got to be just kicking yourself. And if you were looking at those guys on Twitter, they were beating the heck out of Twins fans the last 7 to 10 days. And boy, that humble pie probably doesn't taste too good tonight.
So tell me what happened in the game, because I did not see the game. What happened with the manager?
So he brought in – so Sandy Alomar's been managing the Indians with Terry Francona down, and so they had three straight pinch hits for the first time since, like, 1974. So they load up the bases, and, yeah, so they go get a reliever, and instead of Aaron Bummer, their lefty, who's been, like, as good as Taylor Rogers was last year, they go get Carlos Rodon, who was a big-time prospect like 6 years ago, but he's been hurt and inconsistent. And he comes in and he just gives it up. Two-run single, then a two-run double. And before you know it, a 4-1 lead is a 5-4 deficit. And that's kind of where they left it. And he couldn't throw strikes. When he did, they were getting hit. And then he completely spun a slider over his catcher's head. He couldn't have been more out of his element. And then Renteria goes to Bummer in the next inning when the game's already, they're already down. And it's like, well, you got to do it the other way around. And that wasn't even hindsight. That was an easy thing to first guess, not second guess. And the Twins fans were obviously smiling like Cheshire Cats over that one.
That's funny. We're talking to Brandon Warren from Zone Coverage Minnesota here on Late Night News Talk 830 WCCO. Who would you say is the most underrated player that typically he's not a regular contributor on a day-to-day basis? Who would you say is the most underrated guy? Because in my opinion, it's Jake Cave.
On the Twins? Oh, well, that's a good question, man. I think you got a good case for Cave. I think for me, Ryan Jeffers, man, I think he's really coming on behind the plate. And they always talked about how he was going to be a bat-first guy and his defense has really developed. but he's gotten some hits too, where he's not just a kid happy to be in the big leagues. He's put it into motion that there's a question of how many games he could catch in the playoffs, not just as the caddy for Mitch Garver or Alex Avila or both of them, but he might get some starts back there. And for a guy who's just got a cup of coffee so far, you know, 8-10 games or whatever it is, that's impressive. So for me, it's that guy. But you know what? Jake Cave's a great choice. He struggled so badly. He had that grand slam in Chicago, and then it seemed like he didn't get a hit for 3 weeks. But he's turned it back on when they've needed him to, with Eddie Rosario, you know, struggling a little bit, Max Kepler finally heating up. It's got to be harder to write a lineup card for Rocco Baldelli right now than it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, that's for sure.
Are you concerned about Nelson Cruz and the sore knee? Because I'm not.
Not really. Ordinarily, I think I would be. But we've seen with Rocco, it's just an abundance of caution thing. And I suspect they know when he'll be ready to go again. If he's not in there for game two of the series against the Reds, that's when you start worrying. Because I think if you get two games of him swinging the stick against some pretty good Reds pitching, you don't got to worry about it going into that first series of the playoffs. But if he's not playing until like the last game of the year, and it's kind of a do-or-die thing to see how his body responds, then I'm really concerned. But if he's not in there tomorrow or the next day, that's kind of when I'll start worrying.
Okay, let's talk pitching for a second, Brandon. And I need you to step into this controversial. No, it ain't even a controversial thing. It's a debate that happened last night on the show. So,
oh boy.
So Chris brings up to me that, and I didn't even see the tweet or the article or whatever it was, but that our friend Patrick Royce, he had stated that he thought that Kenta Maeda should not be the game one starter. That he would like for Kenta to be the game two starter, pitch Jose in game one if the team is the Yankees, right? Let's just assume that the Yankees, that's the opponent. We're going to assume for a second if it's the Yankees. Because essentially it would be a better matchup in a more likelihood or higher likelihood that the Twins would walk away after the first couple of games having won game two, as opposed to just going and having Kenta Maeda be in there and be a sacrificial lamb facing Gerrit Cole in game one. And Chris mentioned it yesterday. He, I think, in essence, agreed with it. Chris can crack open the mic and hop in if he wants. I'm totally against that. I don't agree with that logic at all. Because to me, that is just going ahead and basically caving and saying that, you know what, we understand that we're just going to go ahead and lose game one. I want Kenta Maeda to be the game one starter. I don't give a damn if it's Gerrit Cole or whoever from the Yankees. Let's go. I want my best starter going against their best starter. Your thoughts?
That's a non-competitive mindset. And if you want to justify that in a 5 or 7 game series, you may have a chance of swaying me. In a 3-game series, you can't concede game one in any way, shape, or form. Now, again, I know Jose Barrios is terrific. I know Michael Pineda is terrific. Even Rich Hill's got some postseason pedigree. But I don't want any little bit of doubt that I believe that I can put my best effort forward in game one. And it's overthinking it when you think about the fact that the Twins are 23-5 at home this year. When you think about the fact that Gerrit Cole is not unbeatable this year, and he has a 3.67 road ERA. And they wanted the Twins to do this back in 2006. I don't know if you were in Minnesota yet then, but it was Johan Santana against Barry Zito. And behind Barry Zito was Tim Hudson and Mark Mulder. And you know what? You can't mess with it. Just your best against their best. You got to want to face the Yankees. You got to want to be competitive. You can't duck the Yankees and get to the World Series. And just like you can't duck Gerrit Cole, go heads up. It's a non-competitive mindset to me to try and manipulate a rotation like that, especially in a 3-game series. Because if you concede game one, what's the point of even playing the last two? You could have
one hiccup.
You could have one hiccup, and the season's over.
I'm with you. No, we're on the same page. But yeah. I'm going to be fair to Chris. I'm going to let him jump into the conversation and explain himself, or let him vent a little bit.
Well, the main reason behind maybe tweaking it, and again, I understand that they beat Shane Bieber earlier. I understand that. And looking at Gerrit Cole, I mean, it's not typical Gerrit Cole, but the thinking regarding this is if you end up losing game one and you need a bounce back, who do you feel more comfortable with? I feel more comfortable with Kenta Maeda in a game two in a must win rather than maybe more of the inconsistent Jose Barrios. Because at least with Kenta Maeda, I know no matter what, they're going to have a chance in that ball game. If things go off the rails with Jose Barrios early, you're going to end up playing catch up. So to me, that's why I would think that there could be a time where maybe depending on the matchup that you could switch a couple things around.
But the problem go ahead.
I can't let myself think that way. But I think a defensible position would be that if you think Barrios is clicking as well as he possibly can right now, and there's probably an argument for that, then the difference between him and Maeda at their best is probably pretty minimal. And in that case, yeah, you go with the guy that's more of a quote-unquote stopper, your more stable asset second. But for me, again, Maeda's just been so steady all season long. He deserves this start, not just quote-unquote as a figurehead, but because he's just been there from day one, whereas Barrios, we've talked about it on this show. There were times where you're like, is he ever going to figure this thing out? And then over the last 2-3 weeks, he did.
And I think the other part of this, too, is in a weird way, with that particular logic, you're actually diminishing Jose Barrios. Because who are the Yankees going to trot out their game to? You're essentially, because if you want to say, let's have Kent in it for game two. No. If we go ahead and have Kent in there for game one, and let's assume that they lose game one, right? Garrett Cole gets the victory. Mm-hmm. You're basically, you just are throwing shade on Jose Barrios and what he means to this organization as a pitcher, in my opinion.
Well, and Maeda's not more likely to stop the Yankees offense in game two than he is in game one. And Masahiro Tanaka is not a pushover. Jay Happ is still pretty darn good. At the end of the day, Happ is a lefty. The Twins have not hit lefties all season long. Tanaka he's stellar, man. I mean, he may not be as good as he was when he first came across to play for the Yankees, but I don't know, man. I can't deal in potentials. I need to win game one, and then if I don't win game one, I regroup, win game two, and if I don't, then I start packing to head home.
And I realistically, I think at this point, when we go down this road, we're overthinking it. This is classic overthinking it. Just like last year with Jake Odorizzi, let's not pitch him at Yankee Stadium. Overthought it, dude. He gave you the best pitching performance out of the starters in game three, but it was too late at that point.
Too little, too late. Yep.
Yep. Yep. All right, man. So what are you looking forward to watching this weekend when we talk Twins baseball in this final three games against the Cincinnati Reds?
I mean, the Reds have a lot to play for, and they've got some pretty good pitching. And so the idea that the Twins control their own destiny is a real thing, obviously, statistically. But they're gonna be up against it. This Reds team is hungry. They can hit when all their guys are going correctly. I don't think they're going to see Trevor Bauer. He just pitched yesterday or today. So
yeah, they're not going to face Trevor Bauer. Yep.
Not unless it's some weird thing on Sunday where he's pitching to get them a certain seed or something out of the bullpen, which, no, they're not going to do that. They want him lined up for that first one. So they're going to see some pretty good pitching, but it's not going to be the best. But this Reds club has a lot to play for, and they've played a lot better lately. So they're not going to be pushovers, and I don't think the Cubs will for the Sox either. It's going to be a great weekend, and Cleveland is in the mix as far as making some noise for seeding too. So it's going to be exactly what we could have asked for. This has been an incredible season in terms of drama. And, we thought, eight playoff teams, there's not going to be any drama in this last weekend. And, boy, you couldn't script it much better than this, I don't think.
And the Twins eclipsed the win total via Vegas. They were 34.5. They got 35 wins. So if you're a Twins fan, you cashed already.
Save a seat at the table if you're buying dinner for me, man.
Hey, Brandon, man, much love. And I appreciate you being on the show tonight. We'll talk to you next week. We'll be talking playoff baseball.
Looking forward to it.
All right, talk to you then. Brandon Warren, Zone Coverage Minnesota, here on Late Night News Talk 830 WCCO.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.